Welcome to Maxed Out Man, helping you become the man you were made to be.
Hey guys, it's Kevin Davis from the Maxed Out Man podcast. This is episode number 46. I am here with Chris Malita. Chris is a weight loss coach. I'm going to let him tell his story about his journey, but career firefighter, paramedic, which works really awesome with my own family, because I'll tell you a little bit about that background. Been married for 14 years, two amazing kids, multiple half marathon and full marathon, or not marathon, Ironman. I'm thinking of my story, which is marathons, no Ironman. And full Ironman finisher, which is super cool. Creator of a nationwide clothing brand, Dirt Life, with Y's, not I's, and a successful YouTuber and TikToker. I'll throw that in since that's where we connected. But hey, Chris, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate that. Appreciate you coming on board. It's kind of a cool connection because, like, I'm an old guy on TikTok. So, like, that's not a little bit demographically different. But, yeah, welcome.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I've usually I'm really new to TikTok, and usually I'm on Instagram. If anybody knows that Instagram has really changed the algorithm, and it's actually pulled me over to TikTok. I feel like TikTok wants to keep the values. Twitter wants to keep the values of where, you know, we're not making money off everything. But yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
there's our social media soapbox for the yeah. Dude, I'll just go where the eyes are. I think that's the secret, right? So you can touch as many people as possible.
Yeah.
You have a really cool story. First of all, let me say this. I'm super excited to have you. My daughter is a paramedic in DeKalb County, Atlanta. DeKalb County, Georgia, which is in, like, that's a busy place to be a paramedic. My father-in-law is a retired LA fireman, did his 20 years in LA. In Watts. And so, you know, our family likes to go towards those high incident areas, we'll call them. And then my brother-in-law was a smoke jumper for the Forest Service. So, you know, we kind of have this first responder thing going, and I have a daughter-in-law that is a sergeant in the Army. So I have not served in any of those capacities. So I get to live vicariously and brag on my family instead. So, hey, you've got an awesome story. Tell us your journey, because I think it's very cool because of the way that you did it and the way you continue to do it and inspire people.
It has been a long journey. I'm sitting here writing my notes, just kind of thinking about what I want to say. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. Okay, so I started off, I came out of high school, I went to college, and I was playing college baseball. And I quickly learned that I was mentally weak. And we did a lot of workouts that basically, I was just so young that it just broke me. And I got out of college, and I always had this idea of being a firefighter. Well, I got it to a point of where I got out of shape, just partying, eating wrong, doing everything wrong. And I hit the scale at 300 pounds one day.
Wow.
And I still remember that day to where I was like, never again am I going to be at this point. So at that point in my life, I started making the changes. I started eating right. I started exercising. What I didn't know was the exercises that I did in college actually built me mentally for down the road. So I actually go back on it and I think, well, how did I get to this point? Well, I feel like a lot of those workouts got me to this point. So I went and I did the CPAT. And I was still out of shape at that time. And I really struggled through it. And again, at that point, I was like, okay, never again will I be at this point. So I started working out from there, and I built up. Like I said, long story short, I've been hitting this for about 16 years now.
Wow. Okay.
I kept it off. So after I got done with my CPAP, I got on with Leavenworth County EMS, and I started working on an ambulance. Still going through paramedic school and all this. Fast forward, I get on a fire department, and I was on the fire department. And as I was still training on the fire department, guys, one thing I want to get out to people is I didn't just start running 6 miles.
Right.
You know, it all started baby steps of 1 mile at a time, or it was mailbox to mailbox. You know, I had to build that up. And then once I got, I hit my target weight right before I got on the fire department. So when I was at Leavenworth County, I was doing really well on the ambulance. And then I hit my target weight and I got on a fire department. I still remember in the academy, one of the instructors was asking us if we've ever swam like 100 yards. Hmm. And at that time, I was actually training for my first triathlon. And I still remember to this day, like raising my hand and the guy's like, oh, okay, whatever, man. But he didn't realize that I was already training, you know, to do my first triathlon. That was one of my goals. I set it. And every single day I hit all the goals to complete it. And so my brother and I, you know, we were really close in age and everything. We went through paramedic school, fire departments, everything together. We trained and did all this together. And so came up, did the triathlon. I smoked him in the triathlon. we did really well, but little did I know that was the last time I was going to smoke him. We got done with the triathlon and I tell him, hey, let's do the half Ironman. And he looked at me and said, you're crazy. A year later, he smoked me at it. And never again was I ever to beat him in another triathlon. So crazy.
But it probably pushed your times, I assume. It pushed your times and your results too, right?
I tried. I tried and I tried and I tried. And I could not keep up with him. He's quick on the run. And it gets me. But I got out of the academy. I did the half Ironmans, I think 3 or 4 times. I've done the half Ironman in Kansas here, but they don't do that anymore. So I became a father. I got married right after I got out of the academy. My wife and I got married. We've been married. We're going on 14 years now.
Congrats. And, that's awesome.
Yeah. We have my son. So I become a father. It started kind of pushing me where it's like, you know, how do I want to teach my kids after everything that I've learned and what I've gone through, the things that you see on the fire department and all those, you know. So it really made me start waking up on what I wanted to do with my kids. So I had this idea of, you know what, my number one goal was I wanted to complete a full Ironman. And it was funny because I told my buddy's dad this, and he looked at me. He's like, you're crazy. You're not going to do it. And it pushed me even more. I was like, all right, man, we'll see. We'll see. So like I said, fast forward another year after doing, and again, I can't remember how many times I did the half Ironman, but I did. I completed the Ironman Louisville. And it was such an accomplishment that it was like, man, that would, you know, people that do it, it's just this high that you get when you do mm-hmm. them. And anybody that's done marathons or anything of that, they kind of get it. But I completed the full Ironman. I became a father for the second time. And so I have my daughter and I have my boy. What I wanted to teach them was what, you know, was the biggest thing is I would always think like, what do I want to teach my kids? Like, if I could do this over again, like what lessons could I teach them?
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, I'm fit. I'm on the fire department. I'm a paramedic. And, you know, I just sit there and I keep looking at them. It's like, okay, if I can teach them one thing, what do I want to teach them? I want to teach them. You can do anything you want to do as long as you put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter what you do, you can do it. You just have to stay consistent and do the little steps every single day to do it. So that's when my entrepreneurship journey began. And I started a clothing company called Live Life, Push Limits, Fear Nothing. And I had no clue what I was doing. Yeah. Not a clue. I got into my first store and no clue what I was doing. Was awesome was the owner and I actually became friends at that store, and he taught me, you know, business stuff, selling, going to events and things like that, which I thought was great. So that's something that I can teach my kids and push my kids on. You know, as my kids are getting older, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, fitness is a big thing. Family is a big thing. teaching my kids is a huge thing for me, you know? So I start messing around with the idea. I was at one of the stores and I got irritated because I saw a company at Walmart that was making, you know, fire department stuff. And I'm like, why, like, how is this person making a fire department shirt if they've never been in this, you know, never a day in our life?
Yeah.
So I created another clothing brand called Tommy Flames. And that was actually right before COVID happened. So during COVID, I was like, well, how do I market this and help at the same time as I'm creating this? So I started making YouTube videos. Got a green screen, put it together, put it behind me, and I learned how to do all the backdrops, everything, edit. And next thing I know, I get a phone call from the news that wants to do a report on me. And so the news does a report on me, and bam, automatically it's like, you're verified on YouTube, you're all this stuff. And I'm like, well, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, just little steps of things of what you're doing. And but I had no clue what I was doing. Not a clue. I didn't know
what none of us do. I've been in business for myself, an entrepreneur, for like 25 years. I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, so. I know. And, you know, and I'm like, so I've got a mentor over here doing this. I got a mentor. And I'm like all over the place. And I'm like, man, all right. So then I started up another, clothing. I was like, you know what? I love the mountain bike. I had this idea of dirt. Did you ride today in my mind? And so I started printing shirts. I learned how to print shirts and I started printing dirt life stuff. And I, you know, I kind of put the YouTube stuff on the back burner because I was like, it wasn't my passion. You know, yeah. I didn't really have passion. There was a little purpose to it of where it was like, you know, teaching fire safety to kids. But once I did all the videos, I'm like, okay, there's nothing else that I
got nothing else to talk about. I have one of those YouTube channels myself, yeah. Different one than this, but yeah.
And you know, everybody's like, dude, you're like the next Blippi. And I'm like, who is Blippi? I don't know if you know, but it is like this giant YouTuber of like these kids channels. It just like, I just didn't have the passion for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I love mountain biking. I'm going to start doing this. So fast forward, I start Dirt Life up and it starts rolling a little bit. I always had this like, I guess my core belief, my mission statement of my life is live life, push limits, fear nothing. So I'm creating this, you know, I've got my wife, my kids, I'm starting this entrepreneurship. I've been on the fire department 15 years. I had an idea of going to the beach and living on the beach and being a firefighter on the beach. So my family and I pick up and we move halfway across the country to North Carolina. We're in Wilmington, North Carolina. Dude, it was awesome. Great people. I'm a firefighter on the beach, everything. One thing that my wife and I didn't realize is she got sick while we were in North Carolina and she went to the ICU for 3 days and she became a type 1 diabetic at 38 years old.
Wow. That's rare.
Very rare. After talking to the doctors, feels like they talk about it's actually really common in women, you know, and I'm a paramedic. I know it happens, but I'm like, this is crazy because she started losing a ton of weight. Like she's down to like 100 pounds and just like frail. You know, she's not very big anyways, but it was like, dude, something's going on. So luckily we were there. She found out that she had diabetes. So now she's got the pump, the insulin, everything going. And she just looks at me and she said, Chris, I just want to go home. We live in Kansas. And so we picked up and we've moved halfway back across the country again. While I'm still juggling everything. So now I'm on my third fire department going through the academy. And now I was the young guy on the department always. And now I'm the older guy on the department with two kids and all this stuff going on. And, you know, it never went across my mind to quit doing stuff to try to teach my kids.
Right.
So once I got established and I got through the academy, I started everything back up, dirt life going. And cool thing is we got into 6 stores across the United States, and which is really cool. And when I do pop-up shops, which I started because Bentonville, Arkansas is actually a really big place close to us that mountain biking is huge there. I make my kids go with me and they become my salespeople while I let them go out and talk to customers and make them do the sales so I can teach them, you know, life, business, how money works and all of that stuff. Went to Colorado, met some awesome people up in Breckenridge. I don't know if people have seen me up there, but I've done 2 pop-ups up there, Colorado Springs, things like that. It's been an awesome journey. But, you know, I'm driving home from Colorado and, you know, I just look at my wife and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, it's cool that it's working, but I don't know, like, I don't feel like I don't know what I'm doing still. Like, I don't know, what I'm passionate about. Like, it's cool. It's going, we're in stores, but it's like, there's just something it's just missing. So I went on a run one morning and, you know, I do early workouts. So,
yeah, I see all your videos that are all dark, always in the dark.
And you know what? I was like, I'll get to that, but I was out on a run and I remember one of the guys I talked to, it was actually the Iron Cowboy. I don't know if anybody knows who that is. He did the 50 Ironmans in 50 states in 50 days guy. And he told me back, this was when I very first started, he said, "Hey, Chris, find your why." And I'm like, "What do you mean by that, man? Like, what do you mean by that?" So I'm out there and I'm running and I'm just going through my head. I'm like, what am I doing? I want to teach my kids. I want to do this. Like, what am I doing? And this word came up in my mind. It was like purpose. Chris, what's your purpose here? You know, you're married 14, going on 14 years. We have kids now, 13 and 11. Like, I'm successful there. I'm a firefighter. I'm a paramedic. And I've been doing it for, you know, 16 plus years now. And I'm successful there. Like, do you just stop? Are you just satisfied with that? You know, yeah, I've got my clothes in these stores and I'm a YouTuber, you know, yeah. But it's like, do you just stop? And I feel like men, we get to this part in our life where, man, you can't stop. Like, I can't be stagnant. I was like, I got to keep going. And I'm just out there running. I'm like, dude, you work out every single day. Like, how have you not like taught people this? Like, dude, you do this. Like, my buddies that run with me, like, I even have this new buddy that when I moved back in town here, he was like, "Hey, I run." I'm like, "Oh, you run?" And he's like, "You run out in 30 degree weather?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, 20 degree. I'm like, "Yeah, dude, it's a challenge to me. It's all a challenge." And I'm sitting here like, how am I not teaching people this? I've kept my weight off and I've kept in fit for, you know, 16 years. So then also I'm one of the biggest things that I had when I was in the gym is I saw this trainer and he was training this person that was obese. And I'm like, how is this trainer going to teach this person anything if they can't even relate to them? They can't relate to where this person is. A lot of these people, they've never had to lose weight in their life. So how are you going to tell me how to lose weight if you've never had to lose weight? You don't know the struggles. You don't know, been through the battlefields of in your mind of going, "Hey, I want to do this. Hey, I want to do that." So I was like, "Chris, like, why aren't you doing this? This is your purpose. Like, you were here to help people. You're a firefighter. You're a paramedic. Why are you not helping people?" So here I am, man.
Awesome.
And that's my biggest thing is I looked at it and I was like, what is my purpose? And so that's my story in a nutshell.
I love it. I want to take you back to, it's funny because I had this conversation over the weekend with somebody. I actually went down to Austin. I'm in Montana, went down to Austin and did a men's event. I got to be the keynote speaker on very short notice, like literally got the message on Wednesday night. I was on a plane at 5 a.m. on Friday. So went down and did this thing, but I had a ton of conversations with it. It was like 75 men. They're all in different spots in their lives, but I had this conversation, and I don't curse a lot, but like there's a moment that everybody gets to. And I referred to it as that's enough of this bullshit moment. Like we all have to get to that point, whether it's 300 or 220 or 15 pounds overweight or whatever, right? Can you walk? I'd be interested if you, because a lot of the guys that listen to this, my whole goal is to not say, hey, you've got to be super fit, 7% body fat, whatever. Wherever you're starting, you can be better than you are right now. Can you walk us through kind of that journey of that's enough of this bullshit? And then like those first steps, I know you said, run to the mailbox and that kind of thing,
yeah.
But there's a mindset shift, right? Like you actually have to have a mindset shift first.
I call it a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete lifestyle change. How many people do I know that started a diet and I'll talk to them and I know the journey. And they'll tell me their plan, and I look at them, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, you're going to fail. I know you're going to fail because you haven't made that change. Mm-hmm. It is a complete change. Like, my day is so structured. Yeah, and I know being on the fire department, it's not so structured because sometimes you catch calls during it, but you know what I mean. It's structured to a point. But that's one of the things that I want to tell people is all this crap on Instagram, on TikTok, it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
These guys that you don't have to have this six pack. I don't have a six pack. I got little guns, but I ain't got these big guns. It doesn't mean that you're not in shape. It doesn't mean you're fit. Just get to a point of where you're comfortable. What was it when my mind shift, man? Like, it's hard every single day. Even now, it's still hard. And God, I want to tell everybody, I still have my cheat day, high calorie days. It resets your mind. I have my off days to reset my mind because this isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. And that's kind of what I want to, like you said, is tell people is like, dude, I think it finally clicked because you got all this crap on drink protein shakes and drink all this. And you're going to look like this. Dude, no, eat food, eat food. Get your calorie count to a point of where you know this is going to be sustainable. Because once I figured out that I could eat food and I didn't have to just like starve, it was like a game changer where it's like, oh, so if I eat this amount of calories and I spread it out through the day, I can accomplish the goal where I'm at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times I can judge because, I'll have a huge breakfast every day. And if I get too busy and I miss, because I try to eat, several times, 5-6 times a day, just because I'm hungry all the time. But if I miss some of those, I can tell if I do that several days in a row, my lifts start to suffer. I start to plateau, not because I'm eating too much, but because I'm actually eating too little. And that tends to be my trainer used to say, stop acting like an anorexic ballerina. Like, eat your freaking meals like you're supposed to. That's what she always yells at me. So,
but it's also, it's hard because you get in that mentality of where you're like, oh crap, like I don't want to gain weight. You know, like my first Ironman, catch this. It's good that you said that. My first Ironman I took, I was still in my weight loss process and my mind was in weight loss. I did the whole Ironman with just drinking a little bit of Gatorade.
Oh man.
I got to the run. And I think it was like mile 6. I think there was like just one big hill in this whole run. It was a double loop. And I ran down the hill and I came up and my legs cramped. And I ran on cramped legs the whole time after that. It was because I didn't have enough food in the tank.
Right.
I didn't have enough of the stuff. My body was burning all this stuff. And it's like, hey, I need replenished or I'm going to start cramping. So the other years were different. So nutrition was a big thing on it. But it's one of those things where, dude, I eat 5 or 6 meals a day. Guys are like, how do you stay fit eating that much? It's like, yeah, but they're smaller meals. Mm-hmm. And I just eat when my body's hungry because I do these workouts to where it's like, okay, I know I need to replenish that, you know? So, but to start off, man, it's every day is a daily struggle. I mean, mm-hmm. man, even today, it's still a struggle. I mean, there's days where you're just like, I just want to eat like crap.
Well, dude, my wife is a baker. All right. So, and my inner fat kid, like I would make a good drug addict. I don't drink, smoke, do any of that stuff. But sugar, right? Like sugar is my thing. And so one of my downfalls is she'll make these cakes. And when you make a cake, in order for it to be flat on top, you literally saw the top off. And so that gives you these like crispy, just like, you know, just the top of the cake, right? Yeah, that's in the kitchen. And so like, and my office is right off the kitchen. So I have to really have to be in control because I would like, I'll literally take a whole plate of the leftover cake parts and I'll just eat it. Like it's which is not necessarily like, that's not going to derail my whole journey. But if I do that every single day for 2 weeks, then I'll be like, oh, well, yeah, I got it. You know, I can, my face is a little fuller and I got more water in my system, all that stuff, you know? So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, dude, that's just like you said, it's perfect. It's discipline. You know, discipline and consistency. I mean, that's one thing that it's just like, you know, people like today, it's raining here, you know, and my buddy he just started working out with me. He's like, you know, it's raining in the morning. And I'm like, yeah, we're still going to be out there 5:15. <Yeah. laughs> Like, dude, it's just discipline. Nobody wants to lay down in that. I don't want to lay down in that water. But I was, you know, we laid there. Stretched out in the water, and I said, hey, take this in.
Yeah.
This is amazing, isn't it? Because it sucks, man.
Yeah.
So I try to embrace those as challenges. I try to embrace the weather as a challenge because, dude, it'll start snowing here in a little bit. I mean, you're in Montana. You know how it is.
We did not go outside today. It's a winter storm. We got at least 6 inches on the ground right now.
Like, oh my gosh.
You know, we are, there's this northern storm that came down. So we're not going outside to in the snow this morning, but we have a run on Saturday. And, you know, by that time it'll be cold, but it should be not icy, right? So you don't fall on your ass. But yeah, for sure.
Been there, done that, man. That's one thing that I want to, you know, that I was trying to get out with my message, and everybody's like, hey, I know how you feel. You know how guys feel. Like we all are in this together, and it's hard. And if I can help one person, I've gotten many messages, you know, from guys in the past that just thank me for, you know, helping them get through the humps of the hard times. And dude, I was just going out working out. Like, it's like, hey, I just like to take myself mentally, you know, farther than what I think I can.
Yeah. Yeah. That choice, right?
Yeah. And again, I don't want to tell guys like I'm this David Goggins guy because Goggins is on a different level.
Goggins is not human. That's I mean, like you can use him for motivation, but at like 1/100th of what the guy does. He's insane. He's not a human being. Like don't try to emulate what David Goggins is doing.
Yeah. And you don't have to, you know, to get to where you want to be. You don't have to. And the great thing is I was watching a Goggins video the other day and he said, hey, do you.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to be me, just do you. So it's perfect. It's like, do you. And, you know, and again, what's one of the cool things with doing all this is you've probably seen on some of my videos that my boy started wanting to start. He's just got done with football season. And he's like, dad, I want to start running. So I was like, man, this is awesome. Like your kids are listening. They're watching you. If you have a shitty diet, your kids are watching that. You know,
It's funny that you say that because I got two examples. First of all, I was on Facebook this morning and I saw a picture of a family. The kids are sitting on the couch and the dad is overweight and he struggles with his weight. He really is not one to take action to fix it, right? Like he wants to, he likes to absorb information, but not actually take action. But I looked at this picture. First of all, people stop posting pictures of your children with the public setting set on social media. Let me just say that, because there are some crazy freaking people out there. So stop doing that. Anyway, there's a couple of kids and they're overweight, and both of them appear to have a bowl of ice cream while they're sitting there. Hey guys, it's Kevin Davis, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about our upcoming workshop, which is going to be on January 11th. We are doing a Maxed Out Marriage Mastery Workshop, which basically is an introduction to some of the stuff that we do both in marriage with man issues, masculinity issues, health, fitness, and mission, community service, how to be a servant leader. A lot of those different topics we'll be offering. We're going to do a 4-hour workshop, and it's free this time. So feel free to go and sign up at maxedoutmarriage.com/workshop. Hope you'll join us and check it out. And, you know, kids can have ice cream, kids can have treats, whatever, but it was that's my first example. The second example, we were in Moab doing an off-roading trip. My wife's an off-roader. We do jeeping. This Can-Am 4-seater pulls up to where we are, and the two parents get out, 350 plus. The three kids that actually three wouldn't even fit. So I think it was two kids. These kids are probably 9 to 11, and I'm 200 pounds, and these kids were far larger than me. They had to be over 200 pounds at that stage. And I'm like, that's how that happens, right? Like that, it doesn't just happen to children. Like, you are responsible for feeding and encouraging and getting them active. Like, this isn't like they didn't just start out 50% over body weight, right? So to your point, right?
I mean, dude, they're watching. Yeah. And that, you know, and so when he came in and he was like, hey, I want to start running, Dad. And I was like, perfect, let's do it. So week number two comes by, and I come home from shift, and I look at him, and I was like, hey, you running today? And he's like, no, you said that I didn't have to run today. I go, whoa. I didn't say anything, man. You're the one that put the goal out there.
Yeah.
And so he looked at me. He knew that he smiled, and so he went and got his stuff on and went running. But, you know, it's just the accountability where sometimes you just need it, and especially as a kid, man.
Yeah.
You know, and like I tell everybody, it's like, hey, your body does not want to be uncomfortable.
Right.
Your body does not want to be uncomfortable. It wants to be warm, and it's going to tell you everything you want to do to not be uncomfortable. And for him to go out, we measured it. It was like 1.3 miles is what he ran. Dude, that's awesome. For a 13-year-old, I was like, I wish my dad would have done that for us. And but it was a different time, though. Like, nobody – you kind of knew this stuff, but nobody knew this stuff. You had, like, microwave dinners and stuff. Nobody knew how crappy they were for you because of all the advertisement on the TV of how healthy they are. Look at, you know – and now we're figuring it all out, and it's like, wow, this is really bad, especially for, I mean, just people in general, man. I mean, you're under pressure all the time with all this advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be, dude, it's like every day you walk into a grocery store or a gas station, what's in there? Donuts, pizza, and all this stuff, and you're like, be strong, walk out. Like, just don't do it, you know?
Yeah. It's, I told the story on probably my last podcast. I was talking about this post that's going around. I don't know if you saw it. I think it's on Instagram and Facebook, but this woman took a whole bunch of packages of food and was circling GMOs, and which is all well and good. But I looked at these foods and it's like freaking Oreos and Cheetos and like hot tamales and like, and I posted something, one of my friends posted, I'm like, you do realize that the GMO aspect of this food is the least damaging aspect of eating that crap, right? Like, no one should put this food in their bodies, period. But that's what we focus on, right? Like, that's the education that we have for American consumers, is like, I'm going to focus on the fact that this has genetically modified corn to make it easier to grow versus the 87 grams of sugar that is in this food and all the other chemicals that are listed on the, you know, on that thing. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in the message that I want to get out also is I, like I said, I have my cheat days. I have mm-hmm. the days where, I guess you could either call it a cheat day or a high calorie day.
Reward. I call them reward days, really, from a mental, like a, and yeah. I do more reward meals because I can consume a, like I can derail yeah, yeah. myself with it all day.
But yeah. And it helps you out physically, mentally, mm-hmm. Gets you, you know, get you back on track. So Monday morning, it's like, bam, right back on it. You know,
yep.
whichever day I'm off on the weekend is usually my off day. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I'm off Saturday, then that's my off day. If I'm off Sunday, then that's my off day.
But now I would make the assumption, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Most people that have quote unquote off days are typically most of the time some sort of active rest. Like, I don't think you're sitting your ass on the couch with a, you know, bowl of Haagen-Dazs all day. Like, you're an active guy, right? So like yeah, that, yeah. I think that's a misconception people have, is like, I'm just going to sit all day long, which, I mean, sometimes you need it. You're just freaking tired. But for the most part, it's an active rest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like this Sunday, I think, we went on a little hike. We went out, the trees are turning. So we're like, you know what, let's go for a hike and that stuff, you know, take yeah. the kids. But I mean, but like you said, it's teaching your kids, it's teaching yourself, it's getting your life back. And like I try to tell people, it's like, it's not rocket science.
Right.
Okay? I have a little treat every single day because I like my sweets. Mm-hmm. So after lunch, I have a calorie portioned out. You know, if it's a little bit of M&Ms, cool. If it's a little bit of Snickers, cool. Whatever. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't do that.
Right. We all, yeah, do. All of us do. You know? All fit people do, unless they're like getting ready for a fitness shoot or something like that, like where yeah. it's everything or a competition, everything counts. But yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, one, two is a big thing, is getting pop out of your system.
Oh,
I mean, that is the empty calories. I mean, I've done the calorie count on pop sometimes and you're just like, holy crap, you know, and I'll, you know, and again, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't let my kids have it, because I let them have it at a, you know, they have, not every, honestly, they only have pop and stuff on the weekends. That's, yeah. That's yeah. what we do. Yeah. You know, breakfast in the morning for the kids, they don't get cereal. They don't get Pop-Tarts during the week. Now we'll have it weekend stuff. Hey, you can have something on the weekend, because I don't want to deprive them from it. And then when right. they get out on their own, they're like, oh my God. And then they just overconsume it, where it's right. like, hey, I'm going to be real with you. Here's your other options. But during the week, it's strict right through the week.
Yeah.
You know, and they know that, and which is good.
The pop thing is crazy. I've got a friend of mine that just had an 8 millimeter kidney stone. Like, that's literally the size of a very large pea, or like almost like a small blueberry, right? Like, that ain't coming out. Yeah. And they couldn't do anything about it. In terms of, a lot of times they'll go in and like bust it up, and then you can pass them, which is evidently one of the worst pains, kind of comparable to childbirth for a male. But I was like, dude, are you drinking your water? You know, cause he's kind of getting into post recovery. He's like, I quit drinking pop. He was drinking Mountain Dews. 8 a day was what he was drinking. I'm like, well, no wonder you have a freaking kidney stone. You have nothing but sugar and, you know, all that crap in your body. But he lost over, like, he stopped in over like 9 weeks. He lost 26 pounds from just getting rid of Mountain Dew out of his life. Cause what, you know, 8 times 150, like, that's a lot of calories, yeah. right? Like,
that's fun.
Yeah. 1200 calories a day. That's 3 to 3 pounds a week. That, you know, whether you're maintaining or you're, you know, gaining, that's nuts. He's a big boy too. So,
and I think like too, with people, is like, you understand that whatever, you know, and I sit here and I say, hey, you find your purpose and you make your plan.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you want to do? Are you wanting to run an Ironman? Are you wanting to do a marathon? Are you just doing this to lose weight, to show your kids to be better? Whatever it is, figure it out. And then you think about that every single time when you're making a decision. Like, my buddy just did his marathon. The guy that I was working out with this morning, he did a marathon. I say, hey, what's your purpose? His purpose was his kids, and his mom just passed away from cancer. Mm. He's going through a divorce. And I said, hey, when it gets hard during that marathon, think about that, because it's going, you're going to have times of getting hard, but what are you doing it for? Mm-hmm. And once you figure that out, you get that plan in place. And every single day you work on it, on the small things. You're not going to lose 40 pounds in a week, you know, but if you're consistent, you could lose 40 pounds in 2 months.
Yeah.
It's the little wins of where, you know what, I lost a pound this week. Awesome. Hey, I lost 5 pounds last week. Cool. But you got to remember that some of that is water weight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can easily manipulate my scale weight by 4 or 5 pounds overnight, like just depending on what I do, when I weigh, all that stuff. So people get so caught up in that, and we're conditioned for that, right? Like, and even me, like I did a 12-week cut, and I'll have 1 week where I know my body fat's lower, but that scale weight didn't move. And it's just ingrained in us that that's an important number. And so it's a constant mental battle that number, especially if you are a fat guy or fat girl that has not really done any weight training and you begin to replace fat with muscle and all that, like it may go up, you know, in some weeks.
And I mean, it's just such, it's a battle because you have to eat food.
Yeah.
You know, when there's guys that struggle with alcohol addiction, it's like, okay, you don't, and I'm not saying anything against addiction because addiction is addiction, but I'm sitting here saying you don't have to drink alcohol.
Right. It's not necessary for sustaining your life.
You have to eat.
Yeah.
So every single week, every single day, you have to eat. So like you said, and then you're bombarded with all this advertisement on eating like crap. Hey, Burger King's just got this new burger. It's like constantly bombarded with this. And if it's hard for you, what do you think it's doing for your kids?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, because it's not like, I mean, you have to choose every single day to make the, you know, almost every meal you're making these choices. It helps with food prep and, you know, all of that stuff, but you are making those choices in order to make better choices than you would, you know. And one thing that's interesting I've found is like, you probably travel. I travel a lot. And I usually plan ahead. Like I have actually one of those little bags that has multiple little compartments in it. It's like a food prep bag, like for doing competitions. Mm-hmm. So I carry one of those with me. But if I have to go out to eat for like a couple of times out of that 3 or 4 day trip, I feel like absolute garbage. And if I miss my workout, and I always think to myself, is this what people feel like all the time? And how do they not know that they feel like this? Like, cause once you get there, right, once you're fit and you eat healthily and you're exercising, like you just feel, you kind of have this new normal, but like when I eat like that, I just like, God, I feel like crap. How do people do this? Right.
And the thing is like you know it too. Like when you look at that meal, I'm constantly calculating. Like I kind of know what that is. I kind of know what that is. And you know, like you said, you have that bad meal and you calculate. You're like,
dude, that was 1,700 calories I just ate.
Yeah,
which isn't that hard, by the way. On, you know, 1200 calories on a meal, 1500 calories on a hamburger and fries from Applebee's or whatever. Like it's not hard to get to those numbers.
Dude. And my wife being a diabetic now, and she's got to calculate all her carbs. So she's got to give her insulin for the carb count, and she'll do it. And she'll say like ice cream is horrible. Like she can barely have any without and you're like, man, think about it. Like you could knock down an easy, just large ice cream just because it's just like you said, it's ice cream. It's easy. Yep. It goes down to it. Like, and it's like,
if you've never done it, go to your kitchen, get a half cup measuring cup out.
Yes.
Look at how small that is. That's a serving of ice cream. That's in some cases, 300 calories.
And then
the joke in the weightlifting community or the bodybuilding and that kind of stuff is, you know, what an actual serving of peanut butter looks like versus what my serving of peanut butter looks like. And it's usually like I can easily do 3 servings of peanut butter in a heartbeat, right? Which is 600 calories. Hey guys, it's Kevin Davis, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about our upcoming workshop, which is going to be on January 11th. We are doing a Maxed Out Marriage Mastery Workshop, which basically is an introduction to some of the stuff that we do, both in marriage with man issues, masculinity issues, health, fitness, and mission, community service, how to be a servant leader. A lot of those different topics we'll be offering. We're going to do a 4-hour workshop, and it's free this time. So feel free to go and sign up at maxedoutmarriage.com/workshop. Hope you'll join us and check it out.
Easy.
It's crazy. But ice cream is, yeah, definitely, it's crazy.
I think, like you said, is you get, if you actually get the scale out and you start weighing stuff, mm-hmm. you would be shocked on how much you overeat. Shocked. Yep. I mean, you know it. I mean, yep. you're sitting here spitting it out, so you know it. And it's like, and just think, like, every day, and you, one of the tips that I have is when we make a dinner, I always make dinner to have enough for leftovers. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge yep. leftover guy. It makes it easy. It's like, hey, like last night we had chicken parmesan. So I made extra chicken so that, hey, guess what I'm having for lunch today? Chicken parmesan. I know basically what the calorie count is to where I'm like, okay, that's what I'm having. So tonight, I don't know what we're having tonight, but there'll be enough for leftovers for tomorrow. Yep. So it's almost yep. like you're meal prepping without having to meal prep at the beginning of the week.
Yeah. And are you baking? Did you bake the chicken for your Parmesan?
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, yeah. like that's a great example, I think, Chris, of like, I can have chicken Parmesan, but it doesn't have to be, you know, Olive Garden or whatever. Like they typically deep fry the chicken. So you're basically yeah. eating fried chicken with, you know, a pound of cheese on it. So like you can take and make something like that. And it actually is a high protein, you know, decent fat and not a ton of carbs in it, depending yeah. on how you do your panko bread and all that stuff. Right.
Yeah. And make sure you watch your count on them noodles, man. The yeah. noodle, if you're like,
oh man. Yep.
Again, you want to talk about ice cream, do it with noodles. And you look at it and you're like, man, that is not a lot of noodles for 200 calories, you know?
Yep. You switch to spaghetti squash, which is, I mean, spaghetti squash and you know, I hate the name of it, but, you know, or the zucchini pasta where you make, because the name of the thing is I think they call it a veggetti, which I think is the most hilarious name. Yeah, because also because of the way it's shaped, I think it's hilarious. But you can make noodles out of that. However, I will say that chicken parmesan made with spaghetti squash does not taste the same. Like you're BSing yourself. Man. I think you're BSing yourself. It's a better choice and it tastes good. Like it, you can make it work, but like, don't let people lie to you and say that spaghetti squash tastes just like yeah. noodles. Cause it just doesn't.
Dude, a lot. And you know, this too, a lot of the food you eat is the same thing over and over.
I eat the same meal. Like I literally only eat like 4 different meals. Yeah. I'm just not, cause I'm lazy. Cause it's like, I know what these calories are. I eat kind of intuitively throughout the day, which works after you've done it like you and I have for years and years and years. Cause you kind of have an yeah. idea when you're first starting out, you definitely want to keep track of that, but yeah, it's like same things.
Yeah. And I mean, too, if you're just starting out also, you can do, like, you would be surprised on how many different meals that you can have that you would eat. And you'd be like, man, that actually is not that bad, yeah. you know? And again, my chicken parmesan is not going to taste like what it tastes like at Olive Garden.
Yeah.
But you know what? It serves the purpose. It gets me full. That's.
And you change, you actually change your taste buds. Like you change your preferences. I think, you know, the first time you have spaghetti squash, spaghetti or whatever, it's like, this is crazy bad. But
yeah.
It's got a different texture and all that. But over time, realizing that this is a means to your goals, I think it begins to taste better and it becomes more tolerable. You know, because yeah. like you and I are, there's a no BS approach to this, right? Like, I'm not going to tell you that this particular meal, you know, if I make a healthier hamburger without a bun, you know, more low carb or whatever, it's not going to taste the same as one that you just is a fully fledged, you know, 70% fat, you know, all that. So, hey, walk me through, you know, if you were just going to give advice to someone starting out on either And first of all, tell me what the Ironman is. So I've done two full marathons. We've never done the Ironmans. And then I've done you just lose count on how many halves you've done. Walk me through that. But also just kind of if someone's listening to this and they're like, man, I know I'm overweight, maybe it's 100 pounds, maybe it's 25 pounds, and I want to get up and make a change. Walk me through that so we can give these people some advice in that way.
So, yeah. So, like I said, with the Ironmans, like I said, it's a swim, bike, run. So the half is what? 1.2 mile swim, 56 mile bike, and then a 13.1 mile run.
So it's a half marathon plus then biking and run. Yeah. Biking and swimming.
So then the full is 2.4 mile swim, 156 mile bike, 112 mile bike, and then a 26.2 mile run.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've done the calculation because I'm like,
you just go out there and do it, right? Like,
Oh yeah. I don't even know the numbers. I just go do it. So first you have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You have to find what is it. And I've sit here and said it before. What's your purpose? And you're going to have that plan, and you're going to have to be disciplined, and you're going to have to be consistent. Trust the process. It's going to work. But the first thing that I start people off with is just quit drinking pop.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, let's take this first week, eat what you want, start being conscious of what you're eating, but just quit drinking pop. If you have to do that for 1 week to 2 weeks, just quit drinking the pop. Let's start somewhere and let's at least accomplish that. Now, on your off days, you want to have like a glass of pop or something to get yourself on it. Start there. And then the second step that we're going to do is we're going to get a smaller Tupperware dish.
Mm.
You're going to kind of eat what you've been eating, but you can only eat as much as what's in that Tupperware dish. So you can start getting that calorie, you know, the serving sizes down. And this is how I did it. So that's what I try to teach is like, how did you do it in the very beginning? Because you just can't go cold turkey. I've had guys at the station that they bring in just vegetables. And it's like, you can't do that. Like, you're going to break. You're not strong. Mentally, you're not strong enough to continue to do this without breaking.
Well, and you don't want to be dragging that guy out of the freaking fire because he collapsed from no food.
You have to eat. You have to be an art. So we start with just getting off of the coffees, the pop, because I sit there and say pop, but it's coffee now too. I mean, all these creamers and sugars, just as bad as pop. So start drinking water and not
some of the, some of those Starbucks are like 700 calories.
Yeah, like, it's horrible. Yeah, horrible. So start cutting all that out and you start drinking water. And I don't want any of this flavored water stuff because you don't like the taste of water. Well, get over it. Like, that's just the way. You want me to be real with you? Get over it.
Yeah.
Drink water. You know, don't sit here and say that it doesn't taste good because, man, I'll tell you what, I love the taste of water. Yeah. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm like, and there's something wrong with that water. You know, I'm the water snob. I know.
So is my wife. Yeah. We're on well water out here and she gets, when she travels, she's like, this is terrible. I can't, like, go buy me bottled water. So,
dude, I just got a, reverse osmosis in the house
with
water softener. Oh my, oh, it's so delicious. I love it. But start there. Just get off the sugary drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to start working small into getting those portion sizes down. And then once we get on that, then, hey, let's start working on what's your calorie count? Where do you need to be? With also all of this with a workout schedule going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're going to start somewhere. Are we going to start walking? Are we going to start running? We're going to start, you know, lifting. What do you have access to? So that we can start designing and reshaping, changing your lifestyle. Because you and I both know it's going to take a long time. It's going to take at least 6 months. 3 months if you're pretty, you know, if you're mentally strong enough for it. But 6 months to a year it's going to take a long time.
Yeah. The good news is that after that 3 month period is kind of that like, you know, 9 to 12 weeks is kind of when you start going, hey, I feel better. I can see the changes in my body. I'm stronger, which then pushes you to get to that next 3 months and the next 3 months, right?
Yeah. Of course. And then I feel like mentally you start looking at stuff differently. You start looking at your food differently. You start looking at restaurants differently of going like, I know I have to eat out. What can I do to be better, you know, at this? So, and then after that, like I said, we'll get your calorie count taken care of and we'll start working towards what goal you want. Is your goal, you know, you just want to be, you know, slimmer so that you can, you know, be better for your kids? Or is it, hey, I want to do an Ironman. Cool. Mm-hmm. Let's start making a plan to start getting you there. You know, do you want to run a marathon? Do you want to run a half marathon? Do you just want to run a 5K? Do you not want to run at all and just like, wait? Yeah. We can do that too.
Yeah.
But I'm more of a guy, I like functional fitness. Being a firefighter, I like to be strong, but I also like to be functional fitness. So that's why I do a lot of the outside circuit workouts, bear crawl, burpees, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, things like that. I like the functional fitness stuff. So that's more of my what I want. But that's where we would get to, is we would get you to a healthy diet, healthy weight, and then continuing to what's the long-term process. Because again, it's a lifestyle change. Every single day I'm thinking about it. Hey, what's my day look like?
Mm-hmm.
Like after this, you know, podcast, hey, I've got to go start making lunch because I know lunch is coming up. It's the same day every day, you know, like it's very structured. And that's what I kind of say is like, my day is structured all. And again, too, let me put this out there. Not every day do I work out at 5 o'clock in the morning. I try to, but being on my shift, things are different. Like if I get woke up in the middle of the night, my rule is if I get woke up once, I wake up at 6. If I get wake up two, I wake up at 7 when we're supposed to wake up. So it changes, but just get out there and do it. I found that working out at 5 o'clock helped my schedule with my kids, with my wife, that I could get it done, get it out of the way, so then I can see them the rest of the day.
Right.
So that's why I chose to do 5 o'clock in the morning. But if your choice is to do it at 7 o'clock at night, cool. That's you, man. I'm not sitting here saying you have to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm lifting. I get it, but it's like, come on. Like some people cannot get up, you know?
Yeah. Some people just don't do it. What time
are you going to bed? If you're waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, are you going to bed at like 7 o'clock at night? You
know, that's like Mark Wahlberg, right? Like Wahlberg does that. He goes to bed at 7:30.
I know. I saw that and I'm like,
but he gets up at 3:30 to work out, which, you know, that's his life. That's his schedule, whatever. But like, you're not going to stay up until 10 or 11 and get up at 3:30 in the morning and work out. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Do you, what is it that fits your schedule? Mine was 5 o'clock, knock out an hour before everybody gets up. If I have time, I can do my stuff that I needed to get done. And then everybody's waking up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I've started doing 5 o'clock in the mornings. But again, some days it doesn't work like that. I think it was yesterday. Didn't work like that. Two calls after midnight, not getting up,
you know,
barely got any sleep. But on my way home, I had to call my buddy. I was like, hey, dude, you want to go for a run? Let's do it. You know, because it's just like, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, and that's to that point, one of the things I've talked a lot about, and I talked to my friends about this. It's not like, so you get to a point where it's like, okay, I have to go work out. I have to do this. You start by changing the question of, am I going to work out today, to what time am I going to work out today? And what workout am I going to be doing?
Mm.
Right? Like it's a fundamental shift, because it's like, what time am I going to eat today? You have to do that. It just becomes part of your daily life. It's already part of your daily life. So workouts become that way for me. It's like, okay, am I going to work out at 4, or do I have a call or a podcast around that time? Do I have to push that or bring it earlier? I always do cardio first thing in the morning, usually pretty early. But I find that I'm better with weight training in the afternoon. And so like you said, it's whatever works for your particular schedule. I'm self-employed and have, and like you, on the days that you're off, you know, or depending on your shift, you have some flexibility in your timeline to do that like that. But it becomes something, it's just what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you actually feel like crap when you miss a workout.
Yeah.
It's really weird. And I try to explain to people, but if you miss a workout, you feel like crap.
Yep. And once you get fit, there's that meme where it has like what I feel like if I miss a week of workouts versus what I actually so look true. Like. It's like you look in the mirror, you look like you like 400 pounds, but really it doesn't have that kind of major effect on you, but it does mentally.
It messes with you. Yes.
Yeah. Mentally does. It's tough.
And two, one of the big things too, I want to get out there is the easy part is losing it.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part is keeping it off.
Yeah.
The hard, because, and I know it sounds cliche, I guess you could say, or somebody that's been there. Oh yeah, it's easy for you to say. No, I'm telling you, you can lose it. The hardest part is keeping it off. Because again, you've seen the people that have done the fad diets. Hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. And then you lose all that weight. Or I think it's like keto. Keto is a big one that I see. Guys look great. It's immediately when they stop doing it, it comes right back. And it's like, what did you learn? What did you learn out of all of that? You didn't learn anything. You didn't change anything. You didn't change that lifestyle. It'll work. And it's easy to get it off. The hardest part is keeping it off, because it's every single day, every decision. Like you said, it's choices. And like I tell my kids, it's either you do it or you don't. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's yes or no. Are you going to do it? Then okay, do it. If you're not, then you can't blame anybody because you chose not to do it.
Yeah. It's challenging, but it's not hard. In other words, the easiest part in my you know experience is making the decision. Like you said, it's a yes or no answer. Like, am I going to do it or am I not going to do it? Like, it's the follow through after that makes that decision more difficult. But it's not hard. Like, you do it or don't. You know, so you have to choose to do it.
And kind of and two, to piggyback off it, and everybody thinks there's a secret. Well, it's this new secret workout or it's this new secret diet. It's like, it's not. It's the same thing. Guys, The Rock, what do you think he does any secret little workouts? No, he does the same workouts over and over and over again. Now, he may change up the reps, or he may, you know, superset them. He may change it up, but it's the same stuff. There's no different. There's no 7-minute abs where they're like, where was this the whole time? I didn't know, you know? Or, hey, look, it's keto. It's this. It's not that. It's calories in, calories out. Then when you get to the point of where you want to be, it's like, hey, are you trying to build muscle? Because then you need this amount. You, like you were saying with your trainer, it's like, hey, you've got to fuel the machine. Like my wife always says, you eating again? I'm like, yeah. Did you see the workout that I put in today? Like, you didn't see that.
Yeah.
I need to fuel this thing. So.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess that's kind of the message that I want to get out there is like, hey, I know how you feel. Been there. I've done it. I can help you. That's what I want to do is I want to help you. I've been through the trenches. I know how it feels. It's a struggle. Like I said, I've had to lose weight. I'm not going to sit here and I'd say, I'm not going to take my shirt off and do jumping jacks or pull-ups and tell you, hey, look, check out my abs. I'll let you get these. You know, my body style, that's just my body style. I'm a big dude. I'm 6'2", 230. Like, I'm a big dude. Like, I'm just built differently than these guys. Some people just naturally have it. And some people just don't. And it's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm not fit. I had to get that over through my mind of where I'm like, well, dude, this guy looks like that. You know, that's what I want to look like. And finally, I think it was even just last year where I'm like, man, I am smoking some of these guys in these workouts, like these crazy workouts. I'm like, I'm almost two times the size of these guys and I'm smoking them.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not what you look like. It's what do you like? How do you perform? What is your functional fitness? What, you know, what is your strength? Just do it. Do you,
yeah.
You know, quit looking at these guys of where, like I said, The Rock, Come on. Look at the dude. You're telling me that's only protein shakes? Come on. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
It ain't protein shakes, bro. Like, it ain't.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some chemical enhancement, 100%, now, which is, you know, doctor directed and all that, right? So yeah.
I'm not going to say that the guy doesn't work hard. I'm not going
to
say.
You have to work. Like, in order to get that, I don't care what you put in your body. You're still working your absolute ass off.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's awesome, man. And I've seen some of his workouts, John Cena's, and I'm like, man, like, those guys are getting after it. But the biggest thing is, like, do you.
Yeah.
Figure out what you need and do you. Quit looking at this person because you don't know what their goals are or anything. Yeah. You know,
be strong. Work with what you got. Work with what you got, right? Like, I'm top heavy. I tend to build more muscle on my shoulders. I'm very broad shouldered. My wife always calls me a gorilla for multiple reasons, but I have kind of a rounded back because my pec minors get really tight and big in my back. My lats get really big, but like I could do legs 3 days a week and I'm still going to have skinny legs. It's just like, and it kind of pisses me off, right? Like you want to have, I'd love to have more size on my legs, but like, I'm almost 51 years old. I know at this point, I'm not going to have big legs. I'm not going to have rock size legs. His legs are probably the size of my waist. First of all, I don't know what the measurements on that dude's legs are, but like, I'm not going to have that. And honestly, you can't buy pants that way anyway. So why do you want that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, work with what you got. That's what I told my wife when we lived by the beach. I'm like, what do I need a six pack for? I was like, then I go to the beach. I take my shirt off. I've got this six pack and all the girls want to take pictures with me. And then you're mad at me because they're wanting pictures. I was like, that's just why I just don't do it.
Yeah. I did a 12-week cut not too long ago because I wanted to prove that a 50-year-old man could do it. And I gave the caveats like, look, I'm starting out at like 11 or 12%. Okay. I got down to just under 7%. In that 12 weeks, which meant that I mean, that still wasn't six pack for me. I've been down in the fours and that's what it takes to get like that belly button fat off and all that. But that was for me. And that was for a small period of time, right? Like my normal weight, I usually stay 10%, 10 to 12 is kind of where I feel most comfortable. Now that's a different level of fitness. And you know, that's just something that works for me and is maintainable for me and all that. It doesn't mean everybody needs to be there.
And two, it's like understanding what your body type is.
Yeah.
You know, because isn't there the three body types? I've looked at them and I couldn't tell you what they are, but I'm like, you know, it makes complete
mesomorph,
sense.
Mesomorph, ectomorph, endomorph, right? Those are, it's like pear-shaped, round, or just flat out skinny, basically. Yeah.
Because there's just some dudes that they can eat whatever they want and they do not gain an ounce. I drive by McDonald's and I gain weight, you know,
but those guys, a lot of times are skinny fat, right? Like there's that whole concept of being skinny fat. You hear people, especially in our age, well, I weigh the same as I'm in high school. I'm like, yeah, but you're 62% body fat. Like I don't care what you weigh. It doesn't matter. You've got no muscle tone. You can't lift a bag of potatoes out of the cart. You know, there's a problem.
I literally just said that this morning. I was like, dudes are skinny fat, man. Like, they just, like I said, they don't have to lose. They eat whatever they want, but you know, it's going to catch up with you. Just because you don't look it doesn't mean that your insides aren't friggin', you know, dealing with all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know you had a list. I want to make sure we hit everything on your list already because I want to be respectful of your time and kind of draw this too close.
Man, it was more of just making sure I got out my whole, you know, journey and teaching the kids. Because I mean, I know, you know, it's definitely difficult, especially when you start having a family.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we have to teach our kids.
Yeah.
They're constantly watching, constantly teaching, not only just fitness, but, you know, school, entrepreneurship, whatever, to get out of their comfort zone. Like just, it's all about the personal development of everything. Mm-hmm. Like just not about fitness, but overall, like, can you get up in front and talk to somebody? Can you, you know, this is how the world works. Like, that was just all the stuff that I wanted to get out. And like I said, my journey, it's a long journey where I'm like, wow, like this is, I forget to tell people that we upped and moved halfway across the country
Yeah.
The journey
is not like it's not like this was my journey. It's an active journey. Like this is my journey. The whole thing this whole time that we have on Earth here is the journey. Like the journey's not 12 weeks, 24 weeks, 5 years, 10 years. It's all of that, right? Like those are the ways to do it. Hey, if people want to reach out to you, find you, we got TikTok and Instagram and website and all, and your clothing brands, which you'll send me a bio. So I'll have these links to put in the show notes, but let's just rattle them out if you want to.
Okay. Well, let's see. Chris Melita. That's on Instagram. I think official Chris Melita is on TikTok. The Chris Melita is on Twitter, I think it is, since there's some Chris Melita out there that took all this stuff. But Dirt Life, like I said, DYRTLYFE is the clothing line. And Chris Melita Productions is what we're going to be doing on YouTube. And I'm going to be posting my first video up of Finding Your Purpose, the two steps. I'm going to be posting that up after we get done here.
Okay. And awesome.
Like I said, I just tell people, hey, reach out to me.
Yeah.
DM me, message me. I'm all about wanting to help out and, you know, get your life back.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think that's one of the big things. And like I said, is my message, you know, my mission is, you know, live life, push limits, fear nothing, live your life to the fullest, push your limits, 'cause you can go farther and don't fear anything. So,
yeah. That's awesome. Chris, I appreciate your time, man. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
If you're looking to really maximize your life and become the man you were made to be, head over to maxedoutman.com and get your journey started today.